The cellist is wearing a blue dress and a necklace with a circle-shaped cameo. A man driving the car smiles as he talks to a woman sitting in the back seat next to him. The woman in the car holds up the cameo necklace, then hands it back to the girl in the back seat. The child smiles and puts it on. She says, "Thanks, Mom." The cellist is wearing the same necklace. The young girl holds up the pendant for her father to see. He looks back at her. The young girl's eyes widen as a semi-truck jackknifes coming straight at them. The girl yells, "Daddy," and he turns to see the oncoming truck. He struggles to swerve out of the truck's way. The cellist plays with her eyes closed. He manages to miss the truck, but hits a rock, and the car flips and rolls down an embankment. The windshield shatters. The screen darkens as the car leaves a trail of dust and leaves. Framed pictures hang on the wall. One picture is a photo of the young girl with her parents, and one of her standing alone with a cello. A golden retriever is resting on a white sofa, his head hanging over the front edge of a cushion. The young woman is playing her cello. Her hands glide easily over the instrument. She opens her eyes, they're blue but glassy. A brown-haired girl sits in front of her. She also has a cello.
"Okay, you come in, Tina, on the next measure."
Tina, the young girl, begins to play and her teacher stops.
"Marianne, ask my dad about my birthday party. He listens to you."
"Concentrate."
Marianne smiles a little. A dark-haired man passes their room and goes up some stairs. He sets his jacket down next to a short-haired man who's working at an architect's desk. He sketches on a drawing of a house. The short-haired man puts his pencil to his mouth as the other man looks over his shoulder. As the man steps away, the short-haired man smiles, checks his watch, then taps the man on the shoulder.
"Waiting time."
"All right."
The short-haired man heads down the stairs. He stops in the doorway where Tina and Marianne continue the lesson. Marianne has her back to him, and he puts one finger to his lips when Tina looks up.
"See how awesome you can be? Question. Just because I'm blind, do you think I get a free ride at the amusement park?"
"No."
"Correcto. There's no such thing as a free ride, kiddo. Practice. You only get what you go after. Right, Oliver?"
"I thought I was being so quiet. You know, you say you're blind, but personally I think you have eyes in the back of your head."
"You wish, but I wouldn't need you to read me Doonesbury."
"Paper didn't come today. I'll pick one up tonight." "Sounds great, baby. You know, Marianne's right about the practice thing. We should do what she says."
"Well, then throw Tina a birthday party. Girl doesn't become a teenager every day."
"Please, Daddy, please."
"Please."
"Maybe. You know, I'm basically in denial about this impending adolescence. Any second now, you'll probably be wearing weird clothes and have scary hair." "Marianne encourages you because she won't have to see it."
He has Tina's cello.
"I suppose you'll want boys at this hormone fest."
"Daddy."
"I'm reheating that casserole. Care to dine with us, maestro?"
"Oh, I can't. I've got to prepare a class."
"My favorite control freak. Perfectionist." "Come on, Tina."
"Bye, Marianne."
"So, Oliver."
"Yep."
"Tina carries her own cello. Right, team?"
"Such independent women."
They leave, and Marianne finds the mantle with her hand as she moves a chair under it. She picks up a stack of papers from the mantle, then goes to sit next to the golden retriever on the couch.
"How's my sweetie?"
"Dad, you should ask Marianne out. I wouldn't mind. I mean, it's not like Mom died yesterday."
He puts silverware down and steps closer to her.
"Well, it's nice you think your dad is such a catch, but some people are just meant to be best friends."
"But you always say you should marry your best friend."
He rubs her head.
"When did you get so smart?"
Elsewhere, a balding man with a goatee walks down a staircase. He greets several students as he passes them. He peers into the room where the orchestra was rehearsing. He frowns and puts his hands in his pockets as he walks through the room. It's empty except for music stands and lots of shoes and socks. He goes through another door leading to the outdoors. He follows the sound of the music. He hurries down a tree-lined path, then blows out of breath. He spots the orchestra directed by Marianne across a small lily-covered pond. The students are tapping their bare feet to their own music. Marianne's service dog, the golden retriever, rests in the green grass near her. Marianne is smiling as she directs the orchestra. The balding man raises his eyebrows and smiles a little. Back at the conservatory, Marianne puts money into a soda pop machine. She pushes a button marked Star Cola. She puts her ear closer to the machine, then pounds it with her fist. She smiles as the machine produces her can of pop. The balding man approaches her.
You have your own way of doing things, dear Miss Lowry.
Hello, Professor.
I have a unique opportunity for you. You are familiar with the music of Mr. Gregory Pavan.
I know it's popular, sort of New Age music, right?
Splendid! You know his work. Here is a copy of his last CD. Did you also know that Mr. Gregory Pavan is the only graduate of this institution to have won the Grammy Award? He wants to use our students for a song on his next CD. And he is planning to donate the proceeds to the school.
Wow, great.
He will begin working with your class tomorrow morning at 9.
Tomorrow? Wait, can't he work with someone else? I mean, we're right in the middle of Mozart's Marriage of Figaro.
Miss Lowry, Mr. Pavan's generosity will buy your orchestra many new music stands, should you ever decide to use them.
She frowns and he buys a soda.
Be a flexible person for once.
I'm an extremely flexible person. And please, don't do that thing where you puff your cheeks out, okay?
He's puffing his cheeks out. She walks up the stairs and he tries to get the pop machine to cooperate. He pounds on it, but it doesn't work. He bends way over to peer into the machine's dispenser. He glances up and shrugs. He leaves, and the pop can falls into the dispenser. It's nighttime. Oliver and Marianne are listening to music. Marianne takes a deep breath, and Oliver raises his eyebrows.
This man doesn't make music. He makes causes. Save the whales. No nukes. We're just his latest bumper sticker.
Hey, reality check. It's not exactly like there's a line of rich guys falling over themselves to raise money for music school.
Yeah, but does this stuff have to be so...
Ernest?
Boring. Oliver, this is not the kind of musician I want my kids exposed to.
Well, if it makes you feel better, his picture's almost as sappy as his music.
Really? What's he look like?
Oh, crooked teeth, squinty eyes, big ears.
Yeah?
Actually, he is predictably tall, dark, and handsome, if you go for that sort of thing.
At the conservatory, the student orchestra is milling around in the rehearsal room. As the professor paces and checks his watch, Marianne sits in a chair near a desk. The clarinetist who knocked over the music stand turns to trumpeters behind him.
Must be tough getting out of bed this early when you're famous.
I think Gregory Pavan sets his own alarm clock. He has, like, servants for that.
The students straighten up.
All right, we've wasted enough class time. Let's begin at the top of the Marriage of Figaro. Horns in bar 8, remember, pianissimo does not mean...
Excuse me, is this room 102? Because I... Professor, there you are. Your building's got me all turned around.
Gregory, how gratifying to have such an accomplished alumnus still remember his old school.
Oh, stop it. You spoke with my manager, Liz Martin.
Yes.
Hi.
Oh, how exciting for our students to participate in a major recording.
Well, I brought a score, so we can jump right in. Tell you the truth, Professor, I'm a little uneasy about playing with amateurs like this, but I think I've got enough rehearsal time to whip the kids into some kind of shape. If I mess up too much, I can always go back in the studio and sweeten it myself.
Marianne shakes her head.
Is that the music teacher, Miss
Lowry?
Yes.
The professor leads Gregory to Marianne.
Miss Marianne Lowry.
Hi, Marianne. I put my music in your capable hands.
Good morning, Mr. Pavone.
His smile fades as he stares at her.
Good morning. I'm sorry, guess you can't read that. No one,
He glares at Liz, who mouths something.
Told me that you were blind.
It bothers you?
Oh, no, not at all. I actually played with Stevie Wonder at the Grammys once.
Well, we don't say blind anymore. I prefer optically challenged.
Of course.
I'm joking, Mr. Pavone.
Oh, right.
Well, I can see that we have a successful collaboration here, and I leave you two to make beautiful music.
Professor, can I get me out of here right now?
Deal with it. We need this publicity, Gregory.
Oh, excuse me.
The professor and Liz leave. Gregory returns to Marianne.
Oh, hi.
I didn't bring a Braille score with me, so I guess I'll have to conduct.
I guess you will.
He steps to the podium, and she sits.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. My name is Gregory Pavone. You probably already know a lot about me. I have 8 platinum records, 2 Grammy Awards, and Michael Jordan's home phone number. Just kidding. But seriously now, despite who I am, I don't want you to feel intimidated about working on this track with me. I was a student here once myself. And although I certainly don't expect you to play with the precision of a professional orchestra, I do expect you to do your best.
Marianne grimaces.
Remember, this is your chance to find out how real musicians work. So, why don't you play this for me?
The female trumpet player stares at him as he hands her some sheet music. She smiles.
Okay.
He watches her closely. She closes her eyes and frowns.
9:50 a.m. 9:50.
What the hell was that?
That is my talking clock. Okay, everybody, see you tomorrow.
The students pack up.
I know we had to put Mozart on hold, but I expect everybody to practice on your own time, okay? Thank you.
Thank you all. I'm looking forward to working with you all. See you tomorrow. Well, saved by the bell, huh?
She tilts her head but doesn't smile.
I think your trumpeter has some problems with syncopation.
I'm blind, Mr. Pavone, not deaf. You can just talk in a normal voice.
Oh, sorry.
That was Sarah Reed on trumpet. She's very talented. I think the problem is not with my musician. I think it's with your music.
I beg your pardon?
I can't help wondering if you're not stressing the wrong beats. I mean, it's choppy without being especially interesting, don't you think? Maybe if you move some of those rests and got rid of those race notes, mine were a lot of them, perhaps it could sound a bit more melodic, like this. This class is my life. So please, don't teach my students any of your bad musical habits. And also, I'd appreciate if you showed up on time. And I can't stand being treated like a three-headed chicken. Just because I'm blind, it doesn't mean I'm not as good a musician as you are, Mr. Pavone. It just means I can't see. Good day.
She leaves and he takes a deep breath. He blinks several times and smiles just a little.
Good day.
Later in a recording studio, Gregory's playing the piano. He leaves. Liz and a bearded man are at a restaurant.
Don't worry, he'll finish the album.
Forgive me, I'm only the president of Windjammer Records, but you think you can tell me when?
Come on, show some love, Marty. I mean, give him a shot in the arm and set up some concert dates.
Yeah, after he finishes the CD, if it's any good.
Oh, Gregory.
Oh, hey, guys, sorry I'm late.
Hey, Gregory.
Hey, Marty.
Hi, sweetie.
He kisses her cheek.
So, how's it going?
Fine.
Fine?
It's going great. Wait till you hear the song with the kids.
You having fun at the academy?
The conservatory, Martin.
He's found new inspiration.
Oh, the music teacher?
Absolutely.
You're joking, right? I mean, what the hell is with this woman? Do you know that she had the audacity to suggest to me how I might improve one of my songs?
Gregory hasn't felt this challenged since that concert where he personally brought down the Berlin Wall.
Challenged? I tell you, I am beyond challenged. I am completely...
He searches for the words as Marty and Liz stare at him.
Intrigue?
She raises her eyebrows at him and he nods.
Yeah.
A man pushes yellow roses into Oliver's face, then leaves.
These can't be for me.
He looks at the card, then goes next door.
Marianne?
He studies the roses as she answers the door in her bathrobe.
That smell.
They're for you.
Wow, you got me flowers?
No, they're from Gregory Pavan.
Like that? You're a man, Oliver. Is this supposed to impress me? This man breezes into my class 40 minutes late, forces me to put aside everything I want to teach, including the marriage of Figaro, insults my students left and right, not to mention how he treated me when he discovered I was blind. And that was just like the first 10 minutes.
So basically, we don't like Mr. Pavan.
Basically.
Feel better?
Yeah. Thanks, Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
She shuts the door and leaves him holding the roses. He smells them and shrugs.
Dad, you've got to see this.
School, what?
Look.
Gregory opens a limo door for Mary Ann and her dog.
Oh, like that'll work. He doesn't know who he's dealing with. Come on.
Outside.
I hate limos. Staccato, left.
What? What do you mean you hate limos?
He follows them down the sidewalk.
Okay, I get it. You hate me.
Just because you send me flowers, I'm supposed to change my opinion of you?
I didn't send you flowers. Maybe my manager did. Were they yellow?
How would I know? Once again, I am amazed by your lack of sensitivity.
Miss Lowry, please let me just give you a ride.
He steps in front of a bus and she yanks him out of the way just in the nick of time. He stares at her with his mouth open.
You saved my life.
You made me miss my bus. Staccato, forward.
Later, Gregory, Marianne, and Staccato are riding on a bus. Marianne checks her watch.
Now I'm 20 minutes late.
You know, in certain cultures, by saving me, you and I would be bound together for life.
No, you would just have to save me back. Then we'd be even.
Well, maybe I will someday. Your life is so perfect, there's no way I could ever positively affect it.
Nope.
Marianne smiles. She leans closer to him.
I told you nobody'd recognize you.
Allow me to thank you for giving me back the exciting world of bus riding.
It is exciting. You see more on a bus than you do in some stuffy limo.
You're serious, aren't you?
The lady crossed the aisle sad. She's on her second package of tissues this morning.
You're right.
She'll be okay, though.
She's got a good head on her shoulders.
How could you possibly know that?
I hear leather rub against leather. She's got a purse and a briefcase. So I know she's got a good job. Plus, I heard her fold a big newspaper. Most people just get on the bus and stare out the window or read those little tabloid papers. And she wears high heels. Gracefully. It's a very distinctive sound.
That is incredible.
You don't need eyes to see.
Later at the conservatory, Sarah, the clarinetist, and another student watch Gregory, Marianne, and Staccato get off the bus.
Whoa, check it out. What's going on here?
Say there's somebody for everybody.
Maybe. Maybe not.
The clarinetist stares after Sarah. The other student watches Marianne.
Dude, think she knows what a babe she is?
Definitely.
At rehearsal.
Thank you, Mr. Pavan.
My pleasure.
I'd like to start by playing this through once for everybody.
He sits at a piano as she follows along with Braille music.
Rhythm was all wrong. It was choppy without being interesting.
Being hard on yourself.
Just honest. You wouldn't mind, I'd love to hear the cello at bar 17.
She puts the music on a stand and picks up her cello. Sarah and her friends smile as they watch. Later, Gregory finds the professor at the coffee pot.
Professor, what the hell is Marianne Lowry doing teaching here?
Now, whatever she said or did, I apologize. Miss Lowry...
No. She should be out pursuing a career. Her musical instincts are brilliant. She has an incredible ear. She could be touring. She's got to get a manager...
My dear fellow, are you saying only those who cannot do teach? I was her instructor. I know how talented she is. Marianne Lowry is more complicated than your melodies. You have a good heart. Don't make her your project. You'd regret it.
The professor leaves. Marianne dials a phone and checks her messages.
Night out next Friday at the Corner Bistro, and Rebecca says to tell you no excuses, chick.
Hi, Marianne. Dad said yes to the party, so you're invited. Thanks for convincing him. I love you. It's Tina. Bye.
This is Dr. Ambrosio's office. You were scheduled to come in yesterday at 10 o'clock, and you didn't keep...
Marianne frowns and puts her hand to her forehead. Later, she's walking with Staccato. Gregory's checking his watch.
Oh, Miss Lowry.
Hey. Are you okay?
Yeah.
I just wanted to apologize for being such an ass when I first met you. I didn't mean to offend.
It's okay. It happens. I think I was pretty hard on you myself.
Huh. Now that we have a solid foundation of awkward apologies to build our friendship on, that is, if we can be friends.
All right.
Here I am, smiling away at you like you can tell.
I know you're smiling. I can hear a smile. I can hear it in your voice.
Really? Can I walk with you? I fired my limo driver.
Sure. Come on.
They walk down a grassy hill.
So, Ms. Lowry.
Marianne.
If you call me Gregory, I'm going to ask you to have dinner with me.
Okay. Gregory.
Great. It's a cab. Taxi!
The taxi stops and Gregory opens the back door.
I'm sorry. I can't go out with you tonight. I forgot. Excuse me.
She leaves and he frowns. Later, she and Tina are playing their cellos.
Nothing's right today.
You do, huh?
You want to talk about it?
Oliver's listening.
Come on, team. You know you can tell me anything.
I want to invite Paul Bronstein to my birthday party. He's the coolest boy in my class. But it's like he doesn't even know I'm there.
I felt that way in the seventh grade. His name was Carl Stewart. Maybe Paul's shy. I bet you make more of an impression on those boys than you realize. Come on, let's try this one more time, all right? Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Oliver goes back into his office. He glances back at them, then leans over the model of his house. Back at rehearsal, Greg shakes his head and puts his hand to his forehead. Marianne waves her arms to stop them.
Don't worry, guys. We'll go over that again later.
Gregory, I wonder maybe if what we should do first is...
Tear the damn thing up.
No. I mean, it's a little rough, but...
Don't humor me. You're too good a musician for that. Excuse me?
He leaves.
Nice attitude.
Please, Mr. Johnson. If you don't know struggle and disappointment yet, I feel sorry for you. Because it means you've never tried to create something.
The clarinetist shrugs and frowns. Later, Marianne is walking with a woman.
No way.
Yes. Please don't ever let that happen to me, okay?
Deal. See you later. Bye.
Marianne sniffs the air.
Come on, guys. No smoking. Who's there?
Oh. Sorry.
Gregory?
Yeah, I thought I'd quit. Just one more thing I guess I've been fooling myself about.
You okay?
Where do you think talent comes from, Marianne Lowry? Is it really a well? Can it run dry?
Why are you asking me?
Because you're the real thing. Because you are incredibly talented. And you have filled those kids' souls with music.
You just teach the freshman orchestra. You're the one who writes music for the whole world.
Right. You know, my manager thought if I came back to the conservatory, I'd be re-inspired. But instead, I've just been reminded of how inadequate I felt. 18 years old and surrounded by real musicians.
Gregory, why'd you become a musician? I mean, if all it does is bring you pain, I can't imagine that.
You mean you didn't read my profile in People magazine back in 1986 when I was hot? Determined son of Russian immigrants, violinist mother and pianist father, scrub floors in the new country to send their only child to prestigious music school, only to die of exhaustion before getting to see him hit it big.
Marianne cringes and lowers her head.
How could I not be a musician?
Oh, we all have our stories to tell.
He nods.
You're a good listener.
She shrugs.
Blind people aren't easily distracted. Tend to hang on every word.
No. It's more than that. Can I ask you a question?
What's it like to be blind?
No, that's not my question.
What is it?
Why won't you ride in a car?
Marianne closes her eyes and takes a deep breath.
I underestimated you.
Later, it's nighttime, and Oliver's on the phone.
Hey, cello goddess. Thanks for cheering Tina. Doonesbury's outrageous today. You were right. Raoul Duke's back. Came by to read to you, but you're not home. Buzz me, let me know you're okay, okay?
Marianne Staccato and Gregory leave a restaurant.
I don't know how they think people can eat this much.
At least when I ask for a doggy bag, they know I've really got a dog.
How long have you had him?
Off and around.
Can't imagine life without him.
So I can add loyalty to your long list of virtues?
I guess.
He stops and looks in a window.
Gregory?
Oh, sorry, I was just looking at a sculpture. Did you know this is a gallery?
No. You want to go in?
Sure, the door's right over here.
Okay, let's go.
I'm just going to open it, okay? There we are.
They go inside. Various modern sculptures are on pedestals.
It's so quiet.
Yeah.
Okay, show me your sculpture.
All right, let's start over here. It's a series, actually. They're very abstract. Really colorful.
I remember colors.
Huh, you weren't born blind.
Car accident when I was 8. Were there any blue ones? I loved blue.
Yeah, actually, the one right in front of us is sort of a greenish blue.
I haven't thought about blue in a long time.
This part right here is blue.
It's so smooth.
She gently runs her hands over the sculpture.
The whole thing feels alive. It's interesting.
Yes, it is.
I like it.
Excuse me. You can't touch that.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I'm buying the piece for the lady. You can put it on my platinum card.
He hands the woman his wallet.
I'll go right up to sale.
You go do that.
The woman storms off and Gregory returns to Marianne.
Gregory, you don't have to buy that for me.
No, it's fine. There have to be some perks to being Gregory Pavon.
My mother loved art. I haven't had the courage to come into one of these places.
Well, here we are. Let's continue. Tell me what you see. I mean,
I know what you mean. I feel movement. It's funny, I know it's clay, but it feels fast. Mm.
She goes to the other side of the sculpture.
An energy. Incredible energy.
He gently touches her hand.
Can you...
He closes his eyes and puts her hand to his face.
Read my face, too.
With both hands, she gently touches different parts of his face. Still holding his face in her hands, he leans closer to her and they kiss. On a wood deck, Marianne is riding a stationary exercise bike. As she rides, she smiles a little. Staccato watches from a deck above her. Oliver walks down some steps and watches her intently.
Where are you?
Oliver.
Hey, you've done another 200 miles.
She nods.
Well, I'd say you're on the Pacific Coast Highway by now.
What does the scenery look like?
Well, it's hilly.
Okay. Hey.
He turns up the tension on the bike.
But worth it.
She turns the tension back down.
The road keeps rising and falling, turning, hugging the Pacific Coast. Twisted, windswept trees, boulders. Surf pounding below.
He's on a bike next to her.
I'll buy you a soda when we get to Big Sur. So how's it going with the jerk?
Who?
You know, Mr. Muzak.
Oh, you mean Greg?
Careful, don't ride off the cliff.
It does feel like I'm riding off a cliff. Oliver... I haven't been with anybody in a long time. I broke up with Daniel right before you guys moved in.
And after that, I never dared to hope there'd be somebody out there for me. You know?
Oliver's frowning.
Now you do?
Maybe.
He sadly looks down. The freshman orchestra is rehearsing at the conservatory. Marianne turns back toward Gregory.
Hey. Technically, it's excellent.
Definitely. But it needs...
Exactly.
It needs... passion. I know. Everybody, take your shoes off.
The students comply.
Are you serious?
Guys, am I serious?
Yeah.
Don't you ever play barefoot?
No.
Soon after, outside... students tap their bare feet to the music. Gregory smiles and whispers in Marianne's ear. She smiles broadly. Afterward.
That was great today. Thank you.
Oh, all I did was offer a little feedback.
You're the one who should be playing professionally, recording, touring. You know it.
Yeah, really. Oh, it's so hard on staccato being confined all day.
You ever feel confined, Marianne? There's a big world outside this school, you know.
Oh, I'm fine the way I am.
She tosses a toy and the dog goes after it.
You sure about that?
Yes, I'm sure. Gregory... I know you mean well, and I'm flattered.
I'm not trying to flatter you. I'm trying to get you to tour with me.
You don't understand. I'm comfortable here. And that's not something a person like me can take for granted.
Marianne, maybe you've convinced everybody else to be impressed by the brave, the blind girl, and all she's accomplished. I know you can be more. I think you're coasting through the only life you're gonna get.
How do you know I'm coasting?
Because I've coasted my entire life. Musically, emotionally. But ever since we started making this music together, I can't fool myself anymore.
No one's ever talked to me like this.
Maybe no one ever cared enough to tell you the truth.
I don't know if I can handle all these feelings with you. I'm so scared, Gregory.
It's okay. It's okay.
They hug.
Sometimes scared's a good place to start.
Later, Marianne is touching a gray convertible.
It feels... fast. You like fast things, don't you?
She moves around toward the passenger side.
I don't think I can do this.
Why? You're okay on a bus.
It's not the same.
When was the last time you were in a car?
When my parents died. When I lost my sight.
I'll tell you what. We don't have to go anywhere today. Why don't you go on to those?
He gives her the car keys.
Okay.
Okay. Shift to your left.
All right.
And open this door. Why'd you step on in?
Okay.
Right there.
All right.
Yep.
She slowly slides into the passenger seat.
Okay, this is weird.
He shuts the door and she feels things around her.
It's okay.
He gets in the driver's seat.
It's okay, though.
Good.
She closes her eyes.
I think we had a Century. Was that a kind of car?
She starts remembering the day of the accident. She recalls sitting in the back seat watching the scenery pass by. Her mother hands her the cameo necklace, and her father, who is driving, looks back and talks to her. In slow motion, she remembers screaming, "Dad," as she sees the jackknifed truck heading right for them. He frantically yanks on the steering wheel to try and swerve out of the way.
Let's go inside.
As they go into Marianne's apartment, Staccato wags his tail as he walks toward them.
Miss Lowry, Dr. Ambrosio asked that you please call him as soon as possible. Our office is open until 9 o'clock this evening.
Or you want to get that?
It's Dr. just a checkup on this.
Get right back to you.
Hey, Staccato. Come on in.
Thanks.
Put your coat anywhere.
Wow, what a great place.
Thank you.
And somebody sure enjoyed taking your picture when you were little,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. My dad was a photographer. See my dress in this picture?
Uh-huh.
I loved blue even then.
Her dress is green.
My dad was the best. And then when my folks died, my gram came and took care of me. So I got to stay in the house I grew up in. Pretty great of her, huh?
Yeah.
I actually live in a place where I know what everything looks like. Well, almost everything. Oliver renovated a few years ago.
Really? Who's Oliver?
My neighbor upstairs, a great architect. Okay, I've never tried to decorate with art before. Tell me what you think. Be honest.
It's the sculpture he bought for her.
Well, I think it looks great, but I'd turn it a little bit.
Would you? Okay.
Yeah, why don't you just this way?
Right.
He stands closely behind her.
And there you go.
Better?
Perfect.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
They kiss several times.
Oh, no, dinner. I invited Oliver and his daughter. I tell you what, why don't you join us?
I don't have to.
No, it'd be great. You'd like each other.
Later.
Well, that's bull, Bricker.
No, it's not bull, and if you were involved in the arts, you might understand. I have a duty to express what I see in the world around me, the social injustice, the disease, the fact that we are poisoning this planet more and more each day.
Fine, but can't you admit that when you write one of your songs about the rainforest or whatever that you're all
the guys
about? No, what I'm trying to do is write a song that educates people about those same problems.
All right, well, how much money did you make off your Save the Whales album?
Mr. Pavan?
Gregory, please. I donate Gregory, 5% of my royalties to Greenpeace.
Daddy?
But you keep the rest, right?
What's there something wrong with making a living here?
Not an honest living, no.
Oh.
Excuse me, I didn't realize you designed houses exclusively for the homeless.
Can we change the subject, please?
She has a bowl of pasta.
Oliver, you normally sit there, and Gregory, anywhere's fine.
Okay. Do you want to get that? Here, I got
it. He knocks the bowl from her hands. Tina grimaces.
I'm so sorry. Just so
Marianne.
It's okay.
Dr. Ambrosio. I need to talk to you as soon as possible. Listen, we said we'd try a corneal transplant when I got back from my sabbatical. There have been major medical advances with the anti-rejection drugs, but we have to act now. I think there's an excellent chance that you could see. Please, call me.
Wait a second. That's the little checkup that you missed?
I don't want to talk about it.
Why didn't you say something?
Don't move my furniture.
You might be able to see.
Don't move things around on me, Gregory.
Marianne, I...
No.
Leave her alone.
Did you hear that message?
Why don't you respect her privacy?
Why don't you want to help her?
You don't know what she's been through.
I know she has a chance to see again. I think that's pretty important.
Stop it. Both of you. I'm not your poor little blind girl, okay? And I don't need a man. I don't need anyone to make my decisions for me. Staccato? Staccato needs to do it.
Marianne, I just want to... Marianne!
Listen. No.
Oliver stops him.
She's not one of your causes. You can't just blow into her life out of nowhere and after 2 minutes presume to know what's best for her.
Marianne went outside. She sits on a step, then frowns, putting her hand to the side of her forehead. She starts to cry. Staccato nudges her, and she rests her head on his. She hugs him and pets him. Gregory and Marianne walk up to a carousel.
I used to come here with my parents every Sunday. Ugh, the memories are so vivid when I'm here. It's almost like seeing.
No such thing as almost seeing, Marianne.
Listen, there's a kid on the carousel that reminds me of me when I was a kid.
A long-haired girl is waving.
Hear how she calls out when she passes by?
Can you hear the color of the ice cream on her face? How about her hat? Do you like it? Shall I get you here?
Get lost, Gregory.
Marianne, it's just that I'm tired of the little blind trick where you describe everything that's going on by what you hear, and the person who sees is supposed to be so damn amazed.
I don't want the operation.
But it's just the trick, don't you see? It's like staccato catching a ball. It doesn't mean you should play for the Yankees. It's a trick, Marianne. It does not mean that you can see.
I had an operation about a year and a half ago. And as you can tell by my little trick, it didn't work. I went through the whole thing. And it didn't work.
She turns away from him, but he moves beside her.
I wish I'd known you then. I wish I could have been there for you.
No, you don't. Ask Oliver and Tina.
All this time I've been torturing you with my big talk, and I just wanted the best for you. I just want you to see.
I know, Gregory. You're the only person in my life who won't let me forget that I want to see. But then I tell myself, your parents died in that crash. You got off easy, Marianne. I mean, maybe the last operation didn't work because I don't deserve anything more.
No, you can't believe it.
She puts her head on his shoulder.
Not with you in my life, always reminding me I still want to see you.
Marianne, this time, I will be there with you. And when the bandages come off, you'll see the man who loves you.
He kisses her forehead, then hugs her tightly. Later at the doctor's office.
Okay. That tissue looks good. You look good, Marianne. I gotta say, being in love is the most wonderful medicine, am I right? Actually, you know, Gregory, I listen to your CDs in the OR sometimes. Marianne, try not to blink. That's nice, good. But I must tell you, I listened mostly to your first album. Some of your later stuff got a little out there for me. Women chanting in Bulgarian, Australian didgeridoos. I don't know. I'm a simple guy. I like acoustic guitar, maybe a little piano. Okay. I see everything I need to see here.
He moves some equipment away and turns on a light.
Now,
Gregory kisses Marianne's cheek.
Now, the last transplant failed because your corneas are so damaged. But, as we've discussed, the anti-rejection drugs are much better now. We don't need as much healthy tissue for the transplant to take. I think that you have just enough for us to squeak by. But if we wait any longer, the tissue may scar further. So, how's about, how's the 15th?
So soon?
ASAP. Now, come on, you said you had a school break coming. You know, as soon as I give your name to the donor bank, they should be able to find a cornea match in a matter of days.
Okay.
Good.
Let's celebrate.
Gregory nuzzles her cheek.
I have got a great idea.
Soon after, they're riding in his convertible down a winding road. Staccato's riding in the back seat and the top of the car is down. She leans over and feels the wind on her face. She holds her hands above her head and smiles.
How's it feel?
It feels amazing.
She brings her hands down again. He takes her hand. They continue on down a tree-lined road. At an indoor-outdoor restaurant, he helps her out of the car. They go inside. Later, they arrive back at her apartment. Tina and her dad are carrying groceries.
Of course.
So I decided to put in skylights. And you like to look up at night and see the stars?
Sure. Hey, look, there's Marianne.
She's sitting in the car with Gregory talking. Oliver frowns, then continues on.
Aren't you going to stay high?
We've got to get this birthday cake up in the fridge. Get ready for your party.
Marianne thinks you're avoiding her, you know. She's not mad at you for yelling at Gregory. I asked.
Thanks, Anna.
Helium balloons hover near the ceiling. Boys and girls are dancing. Gregory and Marianne enter the party.
Hi, Tina. I wouldn't have missed this for anything.
This is Paul.
Hey, Paul. It's so nice to meet you.
You too.
Paul, this is Gregory.
Hey, Paul.
Hi.
Hey, Tina.
Hey, Gregory.
All right.
Hey, Oliver.
He kisses her cheek.
Hi.
Gregory, good to see you.
They shake hands.
Hey, Tina, I brought this for you. I know you've always liked it. Happy birthday.
It's the cameo necklace.
Thank you. I'm going to put it on right now.
All right, let me help.
Gregory steps away.
Here. I'm just going to turn.
Okay. I don't have many treasures, but I wanted you to have something really special.
As he eats a potato chip, Gregory smiles at them.
It's a very generous gift, Marianne.
Nice party, Oliver.
Well, you knew I'd give in.
Hey, how's the business clause going? Did you get those oval windows put in?
Yes, after six rounds of memos. How's your music coming?
It's right. Good. Yeah, we should be in the studio soon. You two want to come watch the session?
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. May I have this dance with the birthday girl, please?
Sure. Right.
She takes his arm and they leave. Oliver looks at Marianne.
Would you like to dance, Marianne?
She smiles and takes his arm. They start slow dancing.
I know I'm happy for you, Marianne.
Thanks, Oliver.
Now that I'm past my testosterone-driven possessiveness, I can see that you two are good together. And I'm glad you found somebody who really understands you.
You're my best friend, Oliver.
Could I cut in, please? Hey there.
Hi.
Oliver steps back and sadly watches them dance. He stares at them as they smile and sway to the music. Rehearsal.
Nine fifty a.m.
That that's great. What do you say we finish this at a recording studio?
What? Fabulous.
Anybody free on the 14th?
Yeah. The kids stomp their feet.
Okay. Gregory, that's the day before my surgery.
But it's perfect. It'll take your mind off of things.
Okay, before you break up, we know we couldn't have done it without her. So let's all please take a moment and thank Ms. Lowry for making this possible. All right.
Some of the students arrive at Pacific West Recording Studio.
Yeah, my mom wants a picture.
I want to be.
Come on. Yeah, come on. Everybody, yeah.
They pose under the studio sign.
All right.
Yeah.
Tina and Oliver arrive at the studio.
So beat me when you want to ride back, okay?
You're not coming in? Gregory invited you too.
You need to drop off these plans.
Dad.
Sorry. So you and Paul have a good time, huh? Where is Paul?
I guess he already went in. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Soon after, the recording session is underway.
Where's your dad? He's not coming.
Why not?
It's complicated.
Paul nods. Marty smiles broadly. Marty moves next to Liz and whispers in her ear. He hurries to Marianne and they kiss and hug. Liz watches with a slight grimace and nods to herself. Later.
Thank you guys. Thanks very much. We're all fantastic. Thank you. Marianne. Mayor.
Gregory. It's fabulous. They love it.
Of course they do.
We have to talk.
Now, right now.
Yes, now.
Something wrong?
I don't think we should choose to see it that way.
Gregory, I smell platinum. Excuse me, please. I got a proposition for you.
Afterward, an open bottle of champagne and two plastic cups sit on the piano. Marianne is next to Gregory.
I should rest up for tomorrow. We're supposed to be at the hospital by 8:30. Hey, what were you talking to those record company guys about?
You're gone forever.
What do you think of this? I'm still working on the ending.
It's beautiful.
I'm writing it for you.
No one ever wrote me a song. I don't know what to say, Gregory. Thank you. I love you.
The next morning at the hospital, Marianne is ready for surgery.
Marianne, don't wear that staccato. I'll take great care of
you.
I know you will.
Look, Marianne, you know, however it turns out, I think you've made a pretty great life for yourself.
Thanks,
Alan. Okay, everybody. See you later. Get it?
How you doing?
I couldn't have done this without you.
Yes, you could. This is my bus stop.
Ready to go, Miss Lowry?
They watch as an attendant pushes her to surgery in a wheelchair.
Marianne, Dr. Ambrosi, everything's going to be fine.
As everyone waits, Gregory talks on his cell phone.
I want it in my contract, Liz. I tour with my Steinway, and I want my piano tuner. You know what the acoustics are like in those venues? Come on. No, don't tell me short notice. Just make it happen, all right? And you get me on that plane back in time for Marianne's bandages coming off, all right? I am not leaving tomorrow without some guarantees.
Right?
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay. She's fine.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I've been looking all over for you. They just wheeled Marianne out of surgery.
Great. Okay. No, bye.
The two men watch through a small window in the door as a nurse straightens Marianne's bedding. Marianne's eyes are heavily bandaged. Gregory goes to answer his phone. Oliver watches Marianne, then glances back at Gregory. He watches Marianne. Her cello is at her bedside. At the hospital, Marianne sitting in her robe, listening to Gregory's new CD through headphones.
Made a great album.
Gregory removes his headphones.
Think so?
Uh-huh. It's gonna be huge.
Well, the recording company sure thinks so. They want me to do a promotional tour.
Wow. When?
He stands and she leans forward.
Gregory?
I hate this.
He drinks from a bottle of water.
You sound like you're leaving right now.
Well, I am, sort of. This afternoon, but it's only for a month. It's just the major markets.
You're joking, right?
Marianne, the record company is rushing to release our track as the first single. That's how much they believe in what we've done with the kids. When Marty told me that, I nailed him to the wall, and I made him commit to a benefit performance for the conservatory right here in town at the end of the tour. Look, I can bring you and the kids up on stage with me for our song.
You talked me into this operation. You told me when they took off these bandages, the first thing I would see is the man I love.
It will be. I promise. I promise. I've already booked a flight back tomorrow. We'll talk to the doctor, and after that, I've got to fly back for my concert, but that's what they invented airplanes for, right? I mean, look, it's going to be a crazy day, but I don't care. I love you so much. I don't know whether I'm coming or going anyway. All right? Okay.
He kisses her cheek and nuzzles her neck. A large bouquet of flowers sits near Get Well cards. Marianne is playing her cello. Oliver enters carrying a small paper bag.
Oliver.
I bring gifts.
Really?
Nice flowers.
Thanks. They're from Gregory.
I bring cookies. When I get to Italy's half.
Maybe.
And Haydn. Mozart.
Thank you.
Plus a little incentive to get those bandages off.
Wow. What are they?
women's magazines.
Oh, Oliver.
Yeah, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to walk into the Perry Street Pharmacy again after the way that clerk looked at me.
The really mean one who snorts every time you ask for help?
Yes.
Well, I appreciate the compromise to your manhood.
Well, after you read a few of those articles, you'll see why we men are so screwed up.
Really? I can't wait.
Gregory's performing on stage.
Coming. That's off our new album. Thanks. It's great to be back. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Liz meets him off stage.
Thanks. Hey, I'm going to call the hospital. Wait a
minute. You remember Joe Santoro from Downbeat?
Yeah, sure.
And Barbara Malman is the magazine's photo editor.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
This is your strongest sound in years. We're thinking of giving you a cover.
Oh, that's fantastic, Joe, because I really want to raise consciousness about the importance of music education in our schools.
I think Liz grins slyly and nods. She opens his cell phone and turns it off. It's night. Oliver sits next to Marianne's bedside.
Babe, I fell asleep. You're in the hospital, remember?
I had a dream. What are you thinking about?
Not the last time I was in a hospital all night.
With Janine?
Mm-hmm. It's been 2 years since she died, and I still feel guilty.
You're a good man, Oliver. And Tina's lucky to have you. Janine was, too.
That don't make me a saint, Marianne. You lived downstairs. You must have heard the fights.
But you loved each other.
Well, you can love someone and still be all wrong for them. I nursed Janine through her cancer because I owed her for making her so unhappy. I was about to divorce her. When she got the diagnosis, suddenly everybody thought I was her knight in shining armor. There are no knights in shining armor, Marianne.
Sure there are. They just don't ride horses anymore.
He smiles.
I'm going.
Okay.
Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you. Bye. Hello? Hey, Gregory. You back at the hotel?
Oliver frowns as he slowly walks out.
How'd the concert go? Great.
In a hotel room.
Mm-hmm. What time did the band just come off tomorrow? Yeah. Well, of course I'll be there. Hold on a second. Be right there. Yeah. So are you nervous?
Not anymore.
It's nighttime. A fire is glowing from a fireplace. Oliver sitting in front of the fire, staring off into space.
Hey, Dad, shouldn't you get to sleep? You have to wake up early tomorrow.
Now, there's a role reversal. You really are growing up, aren't you?
What are you doing sitting here?
Well, I was just thinking how that doofus is going to break Marianne's heart. There's not a thing I can do about it.
Why not?
Now, when you know the answer to that, you'll be all grown up. Come on, off to bed.
The next day, medical equipment is laid out on a table. Marianne is shaking. Her bandages are still over her eyes. The doctor's talking to a nurse.
What time is it?
I'm afraid I can't wait any longer, Marianne. I've got 2 surgeries scheduled for this morning.
He said he'd be here.
Look, I can come back in 2 days. Or else we can do it now. It's your choice, Marianne, but prefer to do it now.
She swallows hard, then nods her head.
Dr. Okay.
All right. Here we go.
The doctor glances at the nurse, puts on latex gloves, then sits in front of Marianne. He starts to slowly pull off one of the bandages, but Marianne stops him.
Marianne?
I'm scared.
Of course you are. Just wait till you see those beautiful brown eyes.
He gently pulls her hand away and starts again. He pulls away the outer layer of the bandage, leaving only a large piece of cotton taped over her eye.
It's just the light. You're sensing the light, Marianne. That's good. That's very good.
He does the same with the other eye.
I think I hear someone. I think I hear somebody coming down the hall.
Marianne? I'm just going to take off these last two pads. And then if everything's a raging success, everything will look very blurry and you'll have a 4-star headache. So let's hope. All right.
He removes one of the pads.
Marianne? Keep breathing. Now the last one. Can you give it a try? Can you open your eyes?
A tear rolls down her cheek as she struggles to open her bruised and swollen eyes.
It's not working. I can't see.
Marianne?
Where's Gregory?
Marianne, it's all right. Your eyes are adjusting. That's why they hurt. That means you can see something. So please, Marianne, please. Try it again.
As the doctor stands in front of her, she slowly opens her eyes. She opens them a little, grimaces, then quickly closes them again.
It's all right. That's good.
He steps back a little as she tries again. Everything is very blurry. She sees a blurry image of the doctor and stripes of blue and white light from the window. She turns and looks toward the doorway where a blurry figure is standing. She blinks hard, then looks again. Things slowly come into some focus.
Oliver?
She slowly walks toward him with a tear-streaked face. He smiles and he holds her. It's nighttime. Marianne is dressed up in a sleeveless blue evening gown. She looks in a mirror as she puts on some eyeliner. She straightens an ornate necklace around her neck and smiles. She looks at herself in the mirror, then touches the glass and closes her eyes. She smiles again and walks away. Elsewhere, Oliver puts on his suit coat. He looks out his window to see Marianne hurrying down the walkway. She approaches a limo. Tina joins her dad.
Look at her. Well, we can always say we knew Marianne before she was discovered.
Why do you keep talking like she's going away?
Because if a man told you he loved you and then tried to keep you from being the person you were meant to be, I'd have to break his legs. So I can't after I won't be the kind of man with Marianne now, can I?
They leave. An elegant chandelier illuminates an ornate oval ceiling. The freshman orchestra is set up on the stage dressed in tuxedos and black dresses. A grand piano sits in front of the orchestra as well as a chair. An usher escorts Oliver and Tina to their seats.
Right here, sir. Enjoy the show.
Oliver looks at a program. A picture of Gregory and Marianne is on the cover. Gregory comes out on stage and waves. Marianne smiles at the professor backstage. Gregory motions for Marianne to join him, but she shakes her head. She gives the professor her bow, pulls up her long gown, and quickly steps out of her shoes. She takes her cello and walks on stage to join Gregory.
Marianne, you look beautiful.
Thank you. You look good, too.
I'm still waiting for my answer.
After the show.
Mm-hmm. Thank you all for coming out this evening to support the precious gift of music. I would also like to thank you personally for the tremendous support you've shown our album. Ladies and gentlemen, the inspirational Ms. Marianne Lowry and the Milford Conservatory Freshman Orchestra.
The professor beams proudly.
I've made a slight substitution in this evening's program. My fellow musicians have been kind enough to learn a piece I just recently completed writing. I haven't told anyone the title yet. What better place to debut a song called Visions of Marianne?
She smiles at Gregory and Oliver frowns a little.
Thank you.
The audience rises to its feet. Gregory goes to Marianne. They put their arms around each other and he kisses the side of her forehead. Oliver has tears in his eyes. Gregory and Marianne bow. Liz and Marty smile at each other. Gregory raises Marianne's hand high into the air and they bow again. Later.
No, this last month has been just an empty whirlwind. I can't wait for us to be together on the road.
What makes you think I'll tour with you, Gregory?
Come on, your answer has to be yes. Paris is exquisite. But I think you'll love Florence even more. Those red sunsets on the river. Oh, you'll see the world. And you are a phenomenal musician.
And teaching these kids is what I meant to do. You never could understand that. You always acted like I was marking time until my real life, my sighted life, would start. With you, of course.
You'll never forgive me for missing that plane, will you?
It's not about missing a plane. I forgave you for that weeks ago. You know that. Your life is exciting and spontaneous and perfect for you. But not for me. I love my life as it is. Gregory, you're the reason I can see. You pushed me to take a risk when the people who knew me better were trying to keep me safe. I'll always love you for that.
Marianne.
That doesn't mean we're right for each other.
I don't believe you.
Remember that day when I pulled you out from in front of the bus? I saved you. And now you saved me. Goodbye, Gregory.
She kisses him gently on the cheek.
Marianne, wait. Marianne.
She hurries up some red carpeted steps.
Bravo! Gregory!
At home, Oliver absently taps the folded program against the seat of the sofa he's sitting on. It's dark as a taxi pulls to a stop. Marianne gets out, then looks up to see the light is still on in Oliver's apartment. Oliver stands and slowly wanders into his office. He puts the program down and picks up the model of the house he's designed. He puts the model down and goes to answer the door.
Saw your light.
The concert was beautiful. You and Gregory are good together.
Yes, we are. But Oliver, you and I are great together.
Oliver smiles broadly.
We're extraordinary together.
Mm-hmm. Tina peeks around the corner at the top of the stairs.
To kiss now, don't
we? Definitely.
They turn to see Tina smiling at them. Oliver and Marianne stare into each other's eyes, then kiss. Later, Tina, Oliver, and Marianne are riding bikes. They make their way through tall trees as Staccato runs beside them. They turn into a driveway and stop at an ornate house. It it's the house that Oliver designed. They get off their bikes and go inside.
The long way home.
Narrative script written and narrated by Susan Crane for the Narrative Television Network. Special thanks to the U.S. Department of Education.